And then you went on to mention of defining what spiritual discovery is in itself. And I think on that note, from my experience, spiritual discovery is more than just the label of the words. It's self-discovery. It's discovery of the universe. It's discovery of a model that works for you on your own, through input and guidance. You know, just wanted to mention that. Ah, yes, enlightenment. The more enlightened you are, the more self-deceived you tend to be. What a statement. And yet it's so true. Because, again, I'll argue that on the whole point of words and labels. When you remove them, it's much easier, I think, to understand. And then you go on to talk about demons and how demons seek to control us. And I'm wondering, is it just demons, or are you using the term demons as a label that encompasses more types of entities than that, such as, for instance, the lusty type entities that exist on the lower spiritual plane? Would those be considered demons, or are demons just absolutely malicious beasts that are going to get control of you and make you do really bad things? Or, you know, in other words, does this encompass the other entities as well? And how loosely are you using that term right there, magic? Yeah, another interesting point there about you seeking to control your own spirit rather than trying to control other spirits. And on that note, one of the things you mentioned, my confusion. Yeah, I'll admit I'm as confused as anybody else about a lot of these topics. But I think it's important that at least I'm open to discussing them as we're doing here and getting other people's opinions on that. Yeah, then you went on to describe about how sin is a form of self-deception. I thought that was a really cool point. Although I might add that by the word sin, I would assume you're meaning anything that's just bad, that you shouldn't be doing, as opposed to the classic sense of the use of the word sin, which would entail religious connotation immediately, if you see what I'm saying. But nonetheless, I still get your point. Yeah, and then you went on to describe how our whole purpose here is to develop into who do we want to become, I think is what you said. And there's a disconnect that I have with that whole hypothesis. And the biggest disconnect I have with that is, why is it that we don't carry our existence, if this is the case, with us when we're reborn into the world in the case of reincarnation? Why is it that a baby is born with no conscious recollection of past lives? And the proposed notion here is that they're to come to the planet and develop more spiritually. And I guess my question, and why there's a disconnect, is because what about the case of somebody who comes into existence, you know, severely handicapped, for instance, or even with an autistic mind or severe learning disability? And how does this notion explain issues like that? You know, you went on to say it's our job, it's what we do it forever. In other words, again, referring to developing spiritually. And again, I gotta say, I hope you see the disconnect there. How does that work when we've got a situation where we're put here on the planet and we're got no conscious recollection of where we even are spiritually, not to even let alone be thinking along these levels of spiritual development that you guys are proposing? How does that tie in, and how could that be possible when the situation is as it is? You know, you say that we all progress at the same rate and we don't have the same goals. But again, why start at ground zero every time when we come back? You know, being born as a baby, having to learn the language, possibly having disabilities. How does all that tie in? And another statement was to create who we are going to become. I thought that was a nice way of putting that, but again, the same problem as mentioned before. And then you mentioned that we all have one goal, which is to go on and create new universes or realities ourselves. Yeah, that's interesting. And again, ties into what the model that Paul's proposing, with the different tiers and being able to go through those tiers. My big question is, if that's the model, then why have everyone start at ground zero every single time when they come back to the planet and are born as a baby? That's just the big disconnect for me. Yeah, and then you went on to mention about how, from the point of view of other spirits, this is just another point of view, another place. And I wonder, again, that lies within the model, but what experience, hardcore experience and evidence, do either of you bring back from individual experience to form that model? I don't necessarily question, well, of course, you want me to question. That's the whole nature of this. It's almost like, I guess in a roundabout way, I'm saying, if you've got a model, prove how and why you arrived at that model from the experiences that you've had, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then you went on to mention about how it's more convincing, and it has to be convincing, this plane of reality, that is. And I thought that was an interesting thought. You know, ATS is notorious for just drilling you to the point of where you're forced to kind of prove your point in a way, or else the skeptics will have their way with you, and the debunkers. And I'm not necessarily trying to play skeptic and debunker here, but I think it's in all of our inherent obligation to do. And I think you're getting my point. And in closing, you said that you wanted to see what other people had, and one point of view of many that you mentioned. And I just thought I'd mention that I think your point of view is very interesting, and highly centered maybe in a lot of different things, obviously Paul Richards' method being one of those things. And it's interesting, and I certainly appreciate your reply, Magic. By the way, just as a closing note here, I wanted to mention that I'm interested, just for future reference, on individual key points as opposed to generalizations. And I think one of the ways that we can tackle that, if I may suggest so, is that when you listen to a podcast and you intend to reply, then, you know, a way to do that is simply to have open your player, such as Windows Media Player, play a piece of it and put it in pause, and then go right to your recording program and make a contesting statement that applies to you know, individual points, and obviously not all the individual points, but key points, rather than sort of generalize. Because I think one of the things I'm starting to notice is that it's so easy to get off track from the specific points brought up that are of interest to any given person. And one of the things I was so impressed with what Paul did was he took me point by point and explained, you know, one thing after the other, point by point kind of thing. He clearly was, you know, listening individually to the individual points and addressing those specifically. And I want to mention that to Paul. I really appreciate that. It doesn't go unnoted. And I'm probably going to be a lot more receptive to applying to replying to a podcast if somebody is taking me up on specifics as opposed to generalizations, just for future reference, people. But no biggie. I appreciate it all, and just wanted to make that point. But in closing, thanks again, Magic, and hopefully I'll move on to some other replies here soon.